Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Today's guest,
internationally renowned medium James von Prague.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Yeah, James has been on the show before a few times. He is a medium. He talks to the dead. And he's got an event coming up in a couple weeks. He'll call in. We'll see who he finds from our past at about 8:45 this morning. We've got an update on the 3rd Street Hill closure. I know that's not new news, but we do have an update. There's new information this week that we'll tell you about. So that's all to come this morning on Daily Scramble Live, KX93.5. Good morning.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
All right, let's start locally here in Laguna Beach, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom. Short-term rentals, such as Airbnb, are closer to becoming illegal in Laguna Beach, according to action taken last week by the city's planning commission. The commission upheld the city council's recommendation to prohibit short-term rentals in family neighborhoods, and also recommended a ban in commercial zones and in condos and apartments. Rentals of more than 30 days are still allowed. The commission's proposed ordinance prohibiting short-term rentals still requires city council approval, tentatively set for review April 21st. Just 36 properties with 86 units already are legally permitted for short-term housing. This is impossible to keep saying. Why'd you put this in this story?
Short-term.
It's hard.
If you say the T on the end of the short...
Yeah.
You'll get it.
Short term.
Yeah.
Short term.
No, you can't do it like that. You have to go short term.
All right. Anyway, they don't want Airbnb anymore.
All right. We've done that story. Whatever.
There's nothing really new. But the important thing to note is they're cracking down. They're saying this is still not going to happen, but there's 300 houses still available in Laguna Beach on Airbnb.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a fritter, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
Yeah.
3rd Street Hill update real quick for you, okay?
3rd Street Hill, what about the 3rd Street Hill?
It's closed.
No.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
But there's new information, okay? This week, not only is it's closed every hour of the day and night.
Oh,
it's closed 24-7 starting today.
So up to now, it's just been a kind of practice run.
It's been
run.
Like 8 a.m. to 5:30.
Just a little practice run, just trying to see if it works, trying to figure it out. And now they said, okay, 3rd Street Hill can be closed. So now we're just going to close
for eternity.
It the whole time.
Yeah. So it's closed today, 24/7 until March 30th, nine days from now, 24/7.
Right.
Now the reason they're doing this, because a lot of people have been asking. No, they haven't. The reason for the closure is to perform demolition and reconstruction work of the specially treated pavement on the hill and to re-pour new concrete. Also, there's the sewer pipeline repair they've been doing all along. That will near completion sometime during the first week of April. So it may end. Residents who have questions and or complaints may call the city water quality department at 497-0342.
Yeah. If you could, just give them a ring. Yeah, just call them today. If you've got time, if you've got nothing else to do. I've said it before. If you're on the city council, God bless you. Because this is the kind of thing you do. Concrete, sewers.
Yeah.
This is the actual work.
And praise Jim Barris, our local civilian safety officer. I'm not sure his title, but he gets this information to me.
Right.
And he always makes sure that, you know, we're out there to do it.
Oh,
I appreciate that. But it's a thankless job.
It's horrible. All of that. We see the city people at fundraisers in their dicky bows, all smiling and, you know, eating cheese and wine and whatnot. And the truth of the matter is that most of the day, they're on the phone with people organizing sewers. It's so horrible.
Well, thank you for what you do, City.
Yeah, God bless them.
And finally this morning, a frolicking sea lion at Thousand Steps Beach recently became a bit territorial when two body surfers took a liking to the same wave sets it was playing in. Cody Scott and his buddy Randall Flynn were at their usual spot at 10th Street on Saturday. It was 9:30 a.m. They had the beach to themselves. That is until they approximately saw approximately a 300 to 400 pound black and shiny marine mammal in the surf. In past visits, the teens had encountered other animals at the beach. They weren't totally surprised. Scott said he swam with stingrays before, sand sharks, and a gray whale, but never a 400-pound sea lion.
Right, you want to get out of the way, don't you?
I would imagine so.
Surfers are pretty territorial, I've heard. I've never really surfed, you know, 20 large degrees, you know.
Right. Nor have I.
I've tried and I've hurt myself.
But yeah, I mean, it depends where you go. In Laguna, it can be pretty territorial. That's true of anywhere in Southern California.
Apparently,
you know,
that's
not unique to us.
So,
but, you know, the sea lions were there first, guys. So
true.
We can be as territorial as we want, but the marine life gets priority, I think. All right, well, that's your local news today.
Very good.
Are you satisfied?
I am.
Cool.
Daily Scramble Live.
KX93.5, Daily Scramble Live. Our morning show, Monday morning. Back to the grind today. Jason Fetty, hello.
I know. Good morning. I was late in this morning. It's fun to listen to the intro to the show in the car, though.
How'd it sound?
It sounded good.
Good.
Yeah, it was good.
Great.
I almost wanted to pull over and listen to the rest of it.
I can do that more often, I guess, if you'd like. What'd you do this weekend? How was it?
I can't remember.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll move on.
What did you do?
I went to a baby shower.
Oh, all right then.
But, like, let me just rant on this subject for a moment. Are guys supposed to be invited to baby showers?
I never have been.
I kind of bit my tongue on this subject because I just kind of went.
I don't get invited to anything.
I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to invite men to your baby shower.
No.
Because there were a handful of guys there, boyfriends of the girls who were invited, and none of us looked happy. I mean, everybody.
Awkward.
We all sat in one corner of the room, like it wasn't spoken, but we definitely segregated ourselves. And one guy was falling asleep while they were opening the gifts, and it was like, I'm just pretty sure we weren't supposed to be there.
He's the lucky guy. That was the lucky guy. He was very lucky. Slipped through the whole thing.
We did a game that it repulsed me. It was a game where you had to cut a string and try to match it to the circumference of the pregnant woman's belly. So you had to get as close as you could with the length of a string.
Like guessing the number of beans in a jar.
We did that.
Like.
We did that too. Oh, and you had to put it around her and try to figure out how close your string was. Oh. I did not want to do that. I really just didn't want to.
Suicide at the baby shower. Man shoots himself in the head.
Just as like a PSA to women having a baby, don't invite your husband or your guy friends.
No, we don't care.
Don't do that.
Really. We try to, you know, we appear to care.
I know. I mean, I did. And I ate the food. And
I'm glad she's having a baby, right? It's very nice.
Sure, that's wonderful.
Congratulations.
But, you know, I don't want to watch you open a baby bouncer and measure your stomach.
What's the price, you know, of not going to that? You think you get your wallet out and you go, I don't, I'm not going to this. How much does it cost to not go to this?
Here's $200. Right. I don't know, just a lot of guilt tripping. I feel like
guilt tripping. What are you guilty about?
From the girlfriend.
Well, just, she wants one.
No. God, no. Because I wouldn't have gone to something that she asked me to go to.
Right.
You know, but I did. I did my due diligence, and now she owes me one.
She absolutely.
So
does.
When I say
she's going to poker night,
when I say there's a video game convention, she has to go. Right? Does it work that way?
I don't think it does, Tyler. I think you just have to keep on giving, my friend.
Well, I just don't want other guys to have to go through that same level of torture. So please, women, don't invite guys to your baby shower.
Yeah.
That's my PSA today.
Well, it depends what you're doing. If you're doing that string game and count the beans in the jar, no, we don't want to come.
Oh, and we had to guess the delivery date and the weight and everything about the baby. I don't want to think about that.
No. Though. No.
So you really didn't do anything this weekend? Because that was mine.
No, I didn't do anything. I played, you know, guitar and sang a bit. Hotel Laguna.
All right.
And then that was it, really.
Okay. You spent the rest of the weekend in a coma, and then you came home, barely made it to work. Well, we got to update people in a moment because maybe you didn't, Jason, but a lot of people watched March Madness over the weekend. Some crazy basketball games and some crazy matchups in our March Madness as well.
That I did see because I got some emails.
You did?
Mm.
Good, because Jason Fetty is a 6 seed.
I'm doing all right.
In the southeast corner of our bracket, and he is doing all right. So we'll update you on that in a moment and tell you who you should be voting for, and how much time you have left as we advance to the rounds. It's our Laguna Beach March Madness.
All of a sudden, I'm more interested in this now.
In March Madness?
Yeah, all of a sudden I care about it. Because you need to explain it further. So let's do that.
All right, we'll do that next. Right. It's KX93.5, Astronauts, etc. Good morning. It's a local band called Jeremiah Red. They've performed at Local Brews, Local Grooves at House of Blues Anaheim, which we're involved with again this April. Excited to report that. And they're from Huntington-ish. They're a pretty cool group. So, Jason, March Madness is going on.
March Madness.
Which I know you're British. So what's your understanding of it so far?
It's madness in March.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it to do with it's to do with basketball?
Right.
It's a big competition.
Yeah.
It's college basketball.
Indeed.
And so
what
that
makes,
raises
what makes
me,
it mad?
That makes me more, I have no idea. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
It's because it's a cutthroat single elimination tournament where anything can happen, where teams who are highly favored often lose to lower seeded teams in very close, exciting basketball games.
Okay. And that's mad, is it?
That's mad.
Okay. I see. All right. I'm not being skeptical. That's right. You know, fast paced. Quick game.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're out like that, boom,
yep.
And that's it. You're
mad.
Done.
It's mad.
Yeah, mad.
So
it's madness, I tell you.
We've done our own March Madness pool, which you may have noticed already. It's on our website and on our Facebook, where we've pitted Laguna Beach things versus each other. So things that we consider the best of Laguna Beach are playing each other, and we're now in the second round.
Right. It's not a perfect list. I've heard people complain.
No,
but,
of course not.
Whatever.
I mean,
it's just a bit of fun.
It's not very scientific, really. Yeah. Pick some things.
Yeah.
But we did our best to choose things that we thought should be seated higher than other things. For example, in the events section of the bracket, Festival of the Arts Pageant of the Masters is a number one seed. Makes
Why
sense.
Why are the sections in the basketball thing?
There are sections. They're not separated by anything. Ours is unique in that we have an events, a places, a restaurants, and an other. But I just felt that was a good way to separate.
How are they separated in basketball by where
just
they're in
the country? Where they play. Yeah, where they play.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So would you like an update on who's doing what? Who's doing well?
Yeah, let's have a look today at what's up.
So we're in the round of 32, which means we're almost to the Sweet 16. So we started with 64. Now we're at 32. We're almost to 16 teams.
16 would be like a quarterfinal. No.
Yeah.
Semifinal.
It goes 16, then 8, then 4, then 2. So, yeah, almost a quarterfinal.
16, 8, 4, 2. So there's a few rounds to go yet.
Right, indeed. And a couple more weekends of this. So we hope we still encourage voters online. So in the round of events, the Pageant of the Masters is winning their competition against the Patriots Day Parade currently.
Not surprised.
Now, this is a close one. The KX93.5 Festival of Music versus Hospitality Night, a 5-seed versus a 4-seed. We have 43% of the vote. Hospitality Night is 56% of the vote.
Really?
Which, you know, isn't bad considering we've only done our music festival twice and Hospitality Night is the most attended event in Laguna Beach.
Right.
But that's a close one. Okay. Oak Street Halloween is playing Concert in the Park, also in the event section. Concert in the Park's winning this one.
I'm not surprised. Who knows?
70% of the vote they have. Yeah. Laguna Beach Live is playing the weekend after Labor Day. And the weekend after Labor Day is a sleeper, okay? It's a 15 seed that killed Sawdust in the first round. I mean, slaughtered him. And now they're decimating Laguna Beach Live as well.
How does the weekend after Labor Day slaughter the Sawdust Festival?
It just does.
Oh, my goodness. They need a rethink down there in the canyon.
It was a 15 seed. All right, so in places, Main Beach is currently losing to Forest Avenue, a 1 seed versus an 8 seed. 41% of the vote to 59%.
If they paved Forest Avenue as they promised, do you think the result would be the same?
I think it would be even higher for Forest Avenue.
I would think so.
Yeah. The street beaches are in a very close competition with Victoria Beach, a 12-seed versus a 4-seed. That's 48% to 51% of the vote. So that could go either way.
There's more of them, though, street beaches. It's not quite a fair matchup.
It's not fair. Yeah, it's not fair. But Victoria is very special. Thousand Steps Beach is beating Top of the World. And here's a surprising one. Pacific Marine Mammal Center is beating the Montage, a number 2 seed.
Wow.
Yeah. People love their sea lions.
It's cheaper to stay there, isn't it, if you're a seal?
Okay, in restaurants, Broadway Cafe, Amar Santana's is narrowly beating Nirvana Grill right now. 370 Common is beating Slapfish pretty handily. And Lumberyard is just barely beating Solani Steak Tavern. And Nick's is defeating Southswell Donuts, who, a 15 seed, defeated Studio at the Montage in the first round. And then finally, the most fun category, the other category, Happy Hour, is beating Ocean Sports, which is surprising to me. That includes surfing and skimboarding and boogie boarding, and Happy Hour is winning. Local Bars is in a close competition with Local Musicians, but Local Musicians is just barely winning.
Oh.
And then the best matchup, Jason Fetty versus Our Nonprofits.
Yes. Where does it stand right now, Ty?
Do you think you're winning?
I would hope not. Against non-profit, against organizations.
Against 300.
Some of whom are trying to cure cancer or feed African babies.
Right.
Yeah, no.
You are winning. You have 56% of the vote to Our Nonprofit's 43%.
Well, that's close.
So unless the 300 local nonprofit leaders.
Well, I'm similar to any of those. I've never made a profit.
So you're kind of in both categories.
I am. Well, that's interesting, isn't it?
But here's who you're going to play in the next round, because right below you, Dogs, a number 7 seed, is defeating Our Schools.
Really?
Yeah. So
I've got to play Dogs.
Dogs will advance.
Yeah, I'm not going to win. Yeah. All right, I don't mind. If Mrs. Pickles is in that group, then that's okay. I'll let
her
win.
That's true, technically.
Yeah.
Mrs. Pickles will advance past you.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When is this over, this round?
Well, okay, so the round is technically over because yesterday was the end of round of 32.
Yeah.
So we can end it now, or we can continue the voting until the next round starts, which would be Thursday. What's your vote? Should we end it?
I think we should end it now.
We'll probably end it today and then start the voting for the Sweet 16, which is next.
That's on, and it begins on Thursday.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got a little breather.
Yeah.
A little chance to, you know, I don't know. Get our spirits back up again. Have a right. Little pep talk with the coaches.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're going to get back out on the road and you're going to hit the court again on Thursday.
All right.
Against Dogs. So I wish you luck. So this is fun. We're not doing this for any reason besides we think it's fun. It took, if you have any sympathy for me, it took me 2 days to get it online. It was a big deal.
Is there a prize?
Well, people have asked that, but the confusing thing is, if you win, yeah, we could give you a prize. But what if Dogs win?
Well, you know.
What if Victoria Beach wins? What do we give them?
I tell you what, if any of those win, you can just give me a prize anyway.
I think you nailed it. This is a band called Quilt, which I think they're coming in this morning.
Really?
I think so. The calendar is off and on about this subject.
You know who will know? James von Prague.
Let's ask him. We've got a psychic and a medium in at 8:45. He'll know. Here's Quilt. Well, if we're going to play The Who, we're going to make it cool. Sound round, generational alt-rock. It's a minute and 20-second song from The Who on KX93.5. And Jason Fetty, would you like a quick update on your second favorite country, Japan?
Sure.
Yeah.
What's going on in Japan now?
All right. They're trying to stop barring tattooed foreign visitors from using their bathing facilities.
Right. And they do that.
Because tattoo is it's a very, like, forbidden or shameful thing or something.
No, it's because the Yakuzas wear them.
The gangs. Yeah.
And so they're nervous that they don't want the Yakuzas in there. Everywhere we went, when we were in Japan, we went to various onsens. Dr. Joe Ferguson and I, he has a massive tattoo on his arm.
Really?
Yeah. He's got a big tattoo of his wife's cat. It's the gaudiest, most horrific thing you've ever seen. It's a massive tattoo of a cat and then his wife's name underneath it. He didn't ask anybody, should I do this?
Should I get this tattoo?
Yeah, and then he did it.
Of course not.
It's a gross
Do you
thing.
Think, does a tattoo artist ever stop somebody?
They must do.
And say,
you'd think they would.
Dude,
are you sure about this?
No.
Well, he wanted to do it and he did it. So he's got it. He did it for his wife.
And could you not get into the hot springs because of it or the baths?
No, we went anyway. I think that they are nervous about the Yakuza, but Dr. Joe Ferguson and I will never be mistaken for Yakuza, regardless of the number of tattoos we've got. I've got a tattoo on my back, a little one, and he's got this big thing on his arm. and nobody stopped us.
Of course.
But there are signs up everywhere, no tattoos.
Well, they're trying to relax their rules. The Japanese tourism agency is pointing out there's major cultural differences between how tattoos are viewed in Japan and abroad. So they're experiencing a tourism boom, and agency officials say that visitors should be free to enjoy the country's spas.
Right.
So there you go.
Good.
When I was in Japan, I know we often share Japanese stories, but that's because it's the weirdest place in the world.
Yep.
I went to this festival where I had to carry this giant shrine with a bunch of Japanese guys, and it's called the Mikoshi Festival, and we met a member of the Yakuza, and but everybody who introduced us to him was like, "Hey, this guy's Yakuza, come meet him."
Right. What was it, like the PR guy?
Right. I don't know. Are you supposed to say that? Like, so we took this picture, and he holds his shirt down, like he pulls his collar down and shows all of his chest tattoos in the photo. I've got the picture. And he's sitting there and he's puffing his chest and he's kind of frowning and has this mad face on. And my friend Thomas kind of does the same thing. He kind of folds his arm and does this mean face. And I had apparently had too much sake because I'm just grinning in the background of the photo. Wow. They take this very tough picture. And it's
are they active still, the Yakuza? I don't know. Has it become like some sort of tourist attraction? Like the, I don't know.
I don't know either, but apparently you can just meet them and take photos with them if you meet the right gentleman.
We should do with ISIS, right? We should just go over there, give them a bunch of money, and say, "Look, how about you wear the thing on your head, the black pillowcase, and take photographs with the tourists." That is the way forward for ISIS.
I think you've really nailed it.
Yeah,
some diplomatic thinking there this morning. Should I play a song?
Yeah, you bet. That's
probably a good idea. We welcome your letters.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
All right, first up in local news this morning, courtesy of the Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom, a headhunter is recommending that Laguna Beach Schools hire Jason Villoria as the next superintendent of the Laguna Beach School District. If the school board approves the recommendation at Tuesday's regularly scheduled board meeting, the associate superintendent of a school district in Encinitas will succeed Laguna's six-year superintendent, Shireen Smith, who announced her intention to retire at the end of the current school year. Valoria worked for 2 years as the director of education services for the San Diegesto Union High School District before taking the upper administrative post last July. He previously worked as the principal of Woodbridge High in Irvine and earned his education degrees from Pepperdine.
What does the school superintendent do, Tyler? Do you know?
Please don't ask me that question. I just know people really like Shireen Smith because I went to the school power fundraiser on Saturday night, which was lovely. The dinner dance at the Montage, and they raised a lot of money, by the way, a couple hundred thousand dollars. Mm-hmm. And Shireen Smith was there, and people gave her a standing ovation. Yeah. That's all I know, really.
So she's well-liked.
Yeah, but this new guy is recommended and probably will get the recommendation on Tuesday.
Sounds, because superintendent sounds like a practical position, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like it's a, sort of an academic position.
My experience with superintendents are the one from The Simpsons.
Right.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Not Principal Skinner, but the other guy.
The super.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the super. I'm the super from across the street.
I think that's different.
Yeah.
Third Street Hill is closed.
Okay.
It's closed in both directions this week, 24/7. That's the difference, all right? It's closed all day and all night, starting today until March 30th. They're performing demolition. They're reconstructing the specially treated pavement on the hill, and they're repouring concrete. And they're hoping that this project, all of it, will be done sometime near the first week of April.
Good. Now's the time to do it, isn't it? When the tourists are not here, I suppose that's the point.
Well, this weekend was pretty busy to me.
Season.
We're getting there. It's spring now. Let's look at some international news for you this morning. Mm. President Barack Obama has arrived in Cuba for a historic visit to the island and talks with its communist leader. He is the first sitting U.S. president to visit since the 1959 revolution, which heralded decades of hostility. He said on Twitter, "Looking forward to meeting and hearing directly from the Cuban people." Obama will meet President Raul Castro, but not retired revolutionary leader Fidel Castro, and the pair will discuss trade and political reform. The U.S. president emerged smiling from Air Force One with First Lady Michelle and their daughters. The Obamas later began a walkabout in historic Old Havana with a visit to the cathedral. President Obama's visit is the high point of a recent easing of ties, which included the opening of embassies last year.
It's really quick, isn't it? It's been this whole thing, this making up, kiss and make up thing with Cuba has been very quick. I think it's great.
Yeah, I really want to go.
I know.
But I want to go before it gets too new.
Well, that's what everyone's saying the same thing.
Yeah, before...
Before we destroy it with tourism.
Yeah, and the big resorts pop up, and I want to go while I can still drive like an old Pontiac down the street.
Yeah.
1959 GTO or something.
Yeah, they're ready. They're ready for it. They're ready for some cash over there. They're ready to be reacquainted with the rest of the world, especially the United States. So, you know, I suppose it's a good thing. It makes you wonder what that was all about. What was all that about? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know because I wasn't alive. Yeah. I mean, I know, but...
You know what it was all about? What was it all about?
Well, one more story. Too Naked for the Nazis.
Yeah.
A book about the career of a vaudeville
trio. I love this story.
Has won the Diagram Prize, awarded to the oddest book title of the year.
Yes.
Author Alan Stafford has nominated his own book for the award.
Yeah.
By the Bookseller magazine. It beat Reading from Behind, A Cultural History of the Anus, with 24% of the public vote compared to 24.8 compared to 24.3. Just narrowly squeezed that one out. Stafford does not win a cash prize, but instead receives, in the words of the very British organizers, a passable bottle of claret. What is that? Claret?
Claret!
Claret.
Bordeaux wine. It's a big Bordeaux.
Is it pronounced claret?
Claret, yeah.
I think it should be claret.
No, it's claret.
His book is the biography of British vaudeville act Wilson, Keppel, and Betty.
Oh, yeah.
Reading from Behind, however, is an academic text.
I'm sure it is. I like the way you said something about squeezing one out. Was that a pun?
Yeah, it was. Now you called attention to it, though. Other works on the 7-strong shortlist for the prize, which is now in its 38th year, included these books: Transvestite Vampire Biker Nuns from Outer Space and Soviet Bus Stops.
The one about the what was it called?
A Brief Reading from Behind.
Reading from Behind. Yeah. I had a joke about it, but it was the wrong joke because I was going to use the word behind in the joke.
You can't use the name of the thing in the thing.
No, not in the joke. But, wow. Anyway, A Brief History of the Anus. Good.
My grandfather used to love author book jokes. Like, he would say, Under the Bleachers by Seymour Butts.
Yeah,
right, you've heard that.
Yeah.
Yellow River by I.P. Freely.
Yeah, She Fell Out the Window by Eileen Dover.
Hey,
I remember those.
Those are such dad jokes.
They're great. Granddad jokes. How can there be a book called The History of the Anus? Surely it all comes in one thing. It's the same history as the foot or the elbow or anything.
This person wanted to win the Diagram Prize for most outrageous book title.
No, it has to be a real book. It has to be a real book. It is a real book.
Yeah, but I could see myself writing a book just to win this prize.
Really?
Yep.
It's such a huge thing to write a book. It's a massive undertaking. Just to win a prize on the strength of a silly name?
Yeah,
I'd do it. That guy did, he put himself up for the prize, right? The winner.
Right, the guy who won, he nominated himself. I'm telling you, he wrote the book and then nominated himself and is happy to have won.
Wow.
He barely won, 24.8% of the vote to 24.3%.
With that Wilson, Keppel, and whatever, the people that he's...
The vaudevillians?
The vaudevillians.
Yeah.
You can Google them. They were the ones that did the sand dance. They were dressed as Egyptians, or their idea of what Egyptians look like, ancient Egyptians. And they did a dance in a box of sand. I remember them.
It's weird.
Yeah.
This whole thing is very strange.
Old and silly.
Very British, indeed. Well, that's your news today. Thanks, Jason Fetty. Mm-hmm. Here's Andrew Bird. It's a new song called Capsized. Coming up, James von Prague, renowned medium, will call into the show.
Paper, please don't go.
Well, I don't know how Frank Beard and the other Gibbons feels about that, but Billy Gibbons is doing his own solo thing of ZZ Top, Baby Please Don't Go.
Good for him.
He's got a new record out that is Afrin Cuban flavored. That's what it says on the internet. A new record that's Cuban inspired.
Cashing in on the new Cuban relationship.
Perhaps
States,
so.
Maybe.
Good
maybe
transition.
I think that that it was bound to happen eventually. It was only a question of time when he branched out on his own. For too long, he'd been hidden behind his brother's
beard. I saw ZZ Top, you know.
Did you?
I was maybe 14, and I was the only person not on a Harley that showed up at the show.
Great. They're very sort of... they play a lot of county fairs, don't they? That sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. That's a very... Yeah, yeah.
That's their thing.
Yeah. They've been together longer than any band ever. They really have. They're the longest standing together band with the original members.
Wow.
Did you know that?
Good for them. They are a family. They're like a family. They behave like, you know.
Billy's ruining the whole thing, going up doing his own solo gig.
He probably just wants to express himself with his song, Baby Please Don't Go. Deep stuff. I don't know. James Von Prague's coming on this show very soon.
Yeah.
Hard for me, this.
Is it?
Yeah, it's tough.
Tell me.
Well.
You don't believe in
it. I don't believe in any of it.
Yep.
It's all, to me, just whatever.
So are you going
to
blow smoke or are you going to ask challenging questions?
I'm going to blow smoke. Because I'm emotionally a little bit rattled. I was late this morning. I've had a weird weekend.
You seem a little out of it today.
I'm not quite there. Yep. So I'm like, and
you're not ready to challenge somebody's
No,
beliefs.
Because they play on your emotions, these people, anyway. That's the whole point of it, you know, so. I'm getting this. I'm getting a slight something not quite right with you. There's something not quite right with everybody, you know. Obviously, so I'm just a little bit like, and I'm just going to listen to him, and I'm going to blow smoke. I'm his new greatest fan.
Well, you don't have to because I love James Von Prague, and I do believe it.
I want to know about the mustache. There's a problem with the mustache.
With his mustache?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
There's something wrong with it.
What's wrong with it?
It says something about him that I don't. It looks shady.
His mustache looks shady.
The mustache
makes
him look
shady.
Please
don't tell him that. You can ask him about his mustache, but don't tell him it looks shady.
What's behind the mustache, James? Tell us how you really feel. Oh, I don't know.
He's been on this show 3 or 4 times.
Has he ever told you anything that you didn't know already?
Yes.
Really? What did he tell you?
I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, I'll be on this show many times.
but he told me off the air.
Yeah.
He read my aura or whatever.
Oh, dear.
And said some really nice things. I can't remember what specifically, but it left me feeling like, that's nice.
Oh, he wants you.
I've got a good aura.
Good. I don't. He's going to tell me I need to... Book up.
Yeah, he is going to tell you.
You need to cheer up.
Should I tell him what happened in my dream last night?
Yeah.
With the fog and the boat.
Does he do dream stuff as
well?
Is he a dream reader?
I don't know, but I feel like he could. He could probably do it. Probably. He's got the reason why we're having him on is because they have an event in Los Angeles on April 2nd where he lets members of the audience basically tell him who's died and they communicate with him. Now, he also does something that's really amazing, and this may convince you. And I know you're yawning right now, but listen. He says, is there a Clarence Barnes in the audience? And someone will go, that's my dead father.
Oh,
right?
No.
And then he'll speak to him.
No.
That happens. He does that too.
Oh, no. No, he doesn't.
Yes, really? He does.
Calls out a name.
Calls out a name, and it's somebody's dead somebody, speaks to them.
How about if I give him a name?
Who do you got?
I've got loads of dead relatives.
All right, Jason. All right. Are you going to tell him you're skeptical? Because he's fine with it. He's fine with skeptics.
I know. He deals with it very well. I've read a lot of stuff online.
He's
brilliant at dealing
with
skeptics.
I'll tell him.
Because it's not about the skeptic, right? He's going to say. It's not about the skeptic. He's helped many thousands of people. And the skeptic has something that in his life that he believes in that can't be proved. Or, you know, yoga or whatever. I get it. I've heard all the arguments. But the burden of proof is on the... Is on him, not me.
So let's do this then. I mean, he knows that I like him and respect him and enjoy having him.
I'm sure I could like and respect him too.
So I'm gonna say to him, we have a skeptic, and he would like to he'd like to bring up a relative. No. Are you comfortable with mediuming? You got somebody?
I'm a very... Well, yeah, I can totally give him a name. I will give him a name, but he won't go for it. No, not hoping you know where. Never go for
I'm
it.
I'm nervous now, but I think we should
if
do it.
If you want to do it, you can do it. That's fine, but he won't go for it.
Why not?
Because it's too specific. I know everything about this person. There's no way he's going to go for it because they don't deal in specifics. They deal in, I'm getting something to do with the back. I'm not sure. I'm getting something. What does that mean? I don't know what it means, but that's the kind of language. I don't know what it means, but I'm getting something to do with the eyes or sight. Or something. Oh, yes, she wore glasses. Oh, that must be it. You know that,
right?
So it's all very vague stuff,
right?
And you know what? The argument that it's helped thousands of people and they feel better for it is a good argument. Good, great. Then go and you know. So what
if he amazes you? What if he says something that you're like, I can't believe you know that.
No, he's bound to do that.
He's gonna do that,
and that's so annoying to me. No,
All right, we're going to try this.
I don't want to upset the guy. I don't want to upset myself. I don't want to look an idiot. I don't want to look like, you know, I'm trying to put this guy down. I'm not. He's a
No. I want to say that. That's why I want to tell him, look, I appreciate what you do. I respect what you do, but we have a skeptic, and I'd like him to try to get read.
What's the word for that? I'm a skeptic, but I'm a reluctant skeptic.
I don't know if that's a thing either.
Yeah, the reluctant skeptic's name in my new book.
All right, anyway, James Von Prague is a Laguna Beach resident, but I believe he's calling in this morning. I think he's on the road. He's going to call in about 8:45, and we'll talk to him about this event and see in what ways we can both respect and challenge him.
I could be a medium because I know this guy lives in town, and I knew at some point you were going to bring him in here and I'd have to face him. I predicted it.
Well, I've had him on by myself 3 times, and I love him. Okay.
I'm sure, he's great.
He likes me a lot too. Don't ruin my relationship with James Van Prague.
He's got nice blue eyes. He's very nice.
Definitely talk about his mustache though. I think that'll go over very well. All right, we'll be back. It's KX93.5.
Hi, this is Steve Reed. I'm the host of the Coast
Daily Scramble Live.
KX93.5 Daily Scramble Live is the morning show. I'm Tyler Russell. Jason Fetty's here as well.
Hello.
And we're really happy to welcome back to the show this morning a man who's been on with us several times before, a local to Southern California and a renowned international medium, James Von Prague. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Tyler. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's nice to have you back. I know last time you were supposed to call in and you decided just to wander in the morning. So I almost expected to see your smiling face today. But
sorry, I moved to Encinitas. I'm no longer in Laguna.
Oh, that's too bad. You're not a local anymore.
I'm visit because I have friends over there, of course.
All right, well, come see us sometimes.
Okay.
So I love what you do. We've talked about your seminars, your talks, your books before, and there's another one coming up on April 2nd, so why don't we just start with that? An evening of spirit at the Agape Center in Los Angeles. Tell us about that.
So the Agape Center was started many, many years ago by Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, and it's a center which has over 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000 people who come together every Sunday and have services. And they're really about, it's a spiritual service where people just have a connection with their souls and they really talk about how to make the world a better place and really just live the golden rule. And that's really what it's about, and really about a power of thought. What you think becomes reality, which we all know, thoughts are things. And that's what it's really about. And just, it's a celebration of each other, which is fantastic. So it's my second time I've been there. I've been there about 2 years ago, and they have an incredible choir, an international choir, and I'm going to be doing an event there, an evening there of spirit, where I go and I communicate with the spirit world, and I will bring through, of course, messages for loved ones who have passed over with details such as names, addresses, or places. I found recently I get things in their drawers, things that they have, like, you have your father's glasses in the second drawer to the left.
Hmm.
Yes, I do. And so stuff like that proves that there's life after death, that there's no such thing as death. So I am a psychic medium. That's what I guess you would say. So I'm going to be doing that evening at the Agape Center.
Now, I've seen videos and I've heard stories of you calling out specific things in the audience without being preempted. Identify somebody without them saying, you know, this is my passed away father. You find the person before they even say it. So
that's correct.
And you know, Jason, my co-host, is a bit of a skeptic, I will admit.
Jason, I love you anyway, don't worry.
I'm not holding that against Jason.
Please don't make me do this.
No, mate.
I'm a reluctant skeptic, James. I love you, buddy. You go ahead and keep doing what you do. You've helped a lot of people, I'm sure.
Are you sure you don't want to see if James can find somebody in your spirit world?
No, I don't
world?
Want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
I was a skeptic, and before I began this work, I was very skeptical. And one day, I just couldn't deny what I was seeing and hearing, and I was like, okay. And I was a cynical New Yorker on top of a skeptic, so you could just imagine.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't want to pee on your bonfire, mate. I want you to carry on doing
pee
what you're doing.
Pee on my bonfire. I love that.
I want you to carry on. Obviously, the people that come to see you, you know, a lot of them are hurting, and if you can make them feel better about their lives and about the fact that they've lost loved ones, I think that's a great thing. Because
Where are you from in England?
Leeds, city of Leeds.
Okay, because I do a tour in England also. A lot of mediums in England. I mean, it's filled with mediums over there. I mean, it really is. Very competitive over there.
Huh.
Yeah, and it's starting here, too, with a lot of TV shows, Tyler Henry on the E! Channel, and then we have Demonic the Medium. So, yeah, it's something which people have to experience in person, and I would say you can talk about it and hear people do it, but once you're experiencing it in person, when you're sitting in an audience, then you can be blown away. I had a guy this weekend. I was at a place called the In Spirit Center in Mission Viejo, and a guy drove me because it was late at night, so a driver drove me. He never experienced anything. He goes, yeah, I'm not sure if I believe it. I said, come into the audience and sit down. And afterwards he came out and he goes, okay, I don't know if I could drive you back home. Okay, let's stop. I'll take a little break.
James, when you say it's very competitive in England, that's interesting to me. So there's a whole world of this. So you said one medium can compete against another for business and blah, 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 and who's got the bigger show and who does the bigger thing. So what... Do you believe any of them? Who's your favorite medium?
I believe all of them. I believe they're just like in any place and in any career or any business. There are some people that are better than others, but for gosh sake, you know, I think it's stupid not to be open to. And forgive me, I'm not to put you down, but for people, you should be open minded just to see if anything's possible, because anything's possible in our world. And there are some people that are much more sensitive than other people, and much more able to be aware of things around them, the energy around them, the world around them. Oh, sure. And there are some that, you know, I don't feel are as, you know, gifted or as developed, if you will. So, but that's true again in any profession, I think it's true, you know?
What do you think makes you so connectable? Like, I mean, if you could brag about yourself for a moment.
Well, I will brag about myself, Tyler, because yeah. I should. I'm braggable. Because I set every Tuesday night for about 7 years, for 2 hours every Tuesday night with a medium from England, believe it or not, and two other people who I just sit in the silence, and you really just sit there to quiet the mind and to go into the stillness and to really have a relationship, if you will, with who you are, what you feel within you, your soul connection. And you really, it's really profound because it's so simple. It sounds very simple, but you really have these amazing experiences of going within and listening, contemplation, mindfulness, if you will, and you begin to see the world in a different way. You get to feel things differently. You get to have a relationship with people in a different way. You respect people, and you look at people in a different way. So that helped for 7 years doing that. And then you got to trust your intuition. You know, everybody's born with intuition, which intuition is really that feeling, that gut feeling that we have when we meet somebody or something happens, if I feel a certain way. It's an intuition, but then it's further developed. And the development is more of a connection to the other, what you call the other realms, other worlds, and trusting it. And I've had 35 years of doing this, so I'm pretty darn good at doing it, or I'm good as an instrument, and I always say that I'm an instrument. So, yeah. You know, I listen really well.
Would you recommend that stillness, that silence, that meditation for anybody doing anything?
No doubt about it, and whether they're into this world or not, or just every single day, if you could stop and have a sense of mindfulness or an awareness, your whole life, you don't just rush through life. You take a moment and live each life. And that's really important, no matter what business you're involved in. Meditation, yoga, mindfulness, contemplation, whatever you want to call it or label it, it's a matter of being still, sitting in the silence and being aware of self. You know, every step that you take as you walk, that's a sense of mindfulness, a mindful walk that you're aware of every single step. Life then begins, you become a part of life, and life doesn't just pass you by.
Lovely. James von Prague again on the phone, the Agape Center. He has a show on April 2nd. It's called Evening with James Von Prague, an evening of spirit. You can get tickets online at agapelive.com. It also is going to be streamed live, James, so people who are not there can also watch it, right?
Yeah, so it's the Agape Center, April 2nd, like you said, at 7:30, and people go online to see it with Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, who's been around for a long, long time. When I met Michael Beckwith, he was a used car salesman, it looked like, when I first met him. I was like, And he's a wonderful spiritual leader, a really, really incredible man who goes around the world teaching spiritual beliefs and ethics and so forth. And he has this choir. I just want to repeat that again, a choir. I went 2 or 3 years ago, and the choir was there, and the lady that was leading the choir was the lady that we used to go on tour with Michael Jackson, and she played the song Man in the Mirror.
Huh.
And the choir did that, and I went on stage with them. It was so overwhelming, the energy, and everybody was just standing and just singing, and it was just, it's a phenomenal experience. That's why I'm doing it again. So anybody who's in the area of Culver City, California, come to that night, April 2nd, or go on live stream, because if you can't make it in person, you definitely should see it on live stream.
Right. Yeah. Can I tell you what I dreamed last night, James?
Yeah, tell me what you dreamed last night. By the way, we're Periscoping right now, because I know last time
Oh, you're live on Periscope?
Periscope, yes, I am.
Love it.
Because last time you did it to me, so now I'm returning the favor.
Is anybody asking us anything on Periscope?
Anyone ask you anything on Periscope? And here we go. I'm in a Laguna Beach, California radio show with Tyler. Let's see. Yes, they want to know more about your show.
If they want me to do a full spiritual reading, I'm very happy to do that. I can make stuff up all day long.
For Periscope listeners, we're KX93.5. We're in Laguna Beach. We're a generational alt-rock station, and we're independent, and we're against the man, if you will. We're alternative radio in the heart of Laguna Beach, California. So,
well, you're an alternative radio station, and also you, Tyler, are the one that got that radio station going.
Yes, thank you, James.
And you really did. So God bless you, because you really went out there and had a vision and made it happen.
Well, that's nice of you. Okay, let me tell you what happened last night in my subconscious.
Okay.
So I was in a boat.
Can I put you on speaker? Would you mind?
No, that's fine. Yeah. Okay. So I was in like a boat, like canoe, with a man who looked like Jesus, and we were rowing through this lake, and it was covered completely in fog. And then Jesus guy stopped the boat and said, "I gotta go. I gotta go over here into the fog." But I didn't want him to leave because I knew that I wouldn't see him again. And I climbed a rock, and sure enough, the boat was gone, and Jesus guy was gone. But then I somehow got taken by the fog and started floating up into the sky, but it was a terrifying float. It was like, this float is taking him away. It's filling me with fear. And then I saw two dead ghost kids on a cliffside, and then I continued to float away, and then I woke up. I actually woke up screaming in the middle of the night. It was terrifying. Nightmare.
Wow.
What do you got for me, James?
Wow. And your little co-host there is still with you.
He's still here.
I'm still here, bud.
I'm not a dream interpreter, but I would tell you this. Hold on 1 second. I'm trying to figure out the Periscope here. Okay. I would tell you that, number one, it's symbolic. No doubt about it. It's symbolic. And but the person on the boat, you say, represents Jesus to you. So that would be what I would think that would represent. Yeah?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he looked like Jesus. I don't know if he was Jesus, but he looked just like him.
Right, so that represents Jesus to you, which is a spiritual person, a spiritual leader. So obviously there's something spiritual. Now, this is interesting. At night, we go to sleep, our spirit leaves, or our soul leaves the physical body, and we go to those spiritual realms and levels. And the conscious mind cannot always receive what's going on, but it puts it in symbols, or puts it in certain windows, or certain shows things a certain way. But you have to ask, what does that mean? So I'd say the Jesus figure would represent, obviously, either your soul or a spirit. And as you're rising up, which is really interesting, again, this represents the spirit, going and seeing two ghost children, which represents the spirit world again.
Wow.
So obviously there are changes coming up, that you're rising up to more of a spirituality, more of a sense of spirituality, and that you're, that's what looks, I don't want to make it more than it seems like.
Yeah.
But that's what it seems like, you're moving up to your spirituality, realizing spirituality. But, you know, when I first met you, Tyler, a year ago, I said that to you right away. I said, you're a very spiritual person, you're very intuitive. Remember that?
I do remember that. You said some very nice things. I remember it fondly.
So that's probably, it's going to happen, because you're in your late 20s, are you?
Yes.
Oh, come on. You're in your Saturn return. Remember, we talked about your Saturn return. So Saturn return is when you're forced into doing things you're meant to come back to this life to do. So you're going to be doing your work. And remember, I think I told you your work with the radio show, and I think it's going to expand even more.
Yeah.
which I know it's going to expand even more, and there's going to be an essence of spirituality, whether it's going to be a healing through the work that you do, through the broadcast programming you create. There's going to be that sense of spirituality, and there's also a sense of responsibility with you. You'll always have that sense of responsibility. So that's really, really good. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't ever sell your soul.
I'll try not to. I don't know to whom.
You better not, because I'll slap you if I see you in a couple of years from now and you've done that.
See, this is why I have James on the show, because I just like, I'm selfish and I like personal psychic readings live on the air.
No, that's okay. Hey, it's your show. Come on.
Well, you're right about Tyler. He's certainly an intuitive guy, that's for sure, when it comes to other people.
Yeah. Well, when's your birth sign?
Me or Jason?
Jason.
22nd of February. I'm a sort of Pisces, kind of.
Oh, so it's a shame on you, Jason. Shame on you.
Why?
Because 22nd of February, as you said, the beginning of Pisces, and Pisces is the sign of the psychic. So you're more sensitive than you let yourself know, and you'll never be happy, sir, until you open up and live your natural level, which is Pisces, which is psychic, okay. Sensitive, emotional, and that's okay. It's a hard one for men to be Pisces. It's just such a sensitive sign. But if you live and honor who you are and that energy of Pisces, that sensitiveness, and you listen to your intuition, you have a really good intuition. Otherwise, you would not have been on this radio show right now. You would never have been here. You would never have moved to the States.
Wow.
If you didn't use your intuition, correct?
Okay. Well, I do have some intuition, I guess. Yes, James.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Mean, if that means I've got some experience, that's for sure. And
you follow your gut, right? You follow your gut?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, you should always follow your gut. Being a Pisces, every sign is psychic from one degree or another, but Pisces is the most psychic sign of all signs.
Yeah, I've heard people say that before, yeah.
Yeah, so always listen to your gut. When you don't listen to your gut, you'll be really upset. The hard part with you is you got to balance your head and your heart. That's the hard part for you. It's always been hard for you to balance those two aspects of yourself. And I don't know if you were married once before, or there was a relationship before, but there's like two strong relationships in your life.
It's me and his wife.
And the dog.
Okay, then. Wow, this is a different type of radio show.
James, you're such a gem. I love that you take time for us personally, and you do this for people around the world. You really make people feel like they're one-on-one with you, even when you're in big crowds, and people can do that. The Agape Center, again, Evening of Spirit, April 2nd. Go to agapelive.com for tickets or for information on how to live stream the show at 7:30. We love you. Thank you very much for
Thanks,
calling
Tyler,
in, as always.
I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Talk to you again soon. Take care.
All right. Bye, James.